Welcome inside the Coach's Room, the number one podcast for football coaches that want to develop. Every week we talk to elite coaches and backroom staff to hear about their experiences, how they develop, and how they develop their players.
So the game model will not progress from A to B to C to D. Maybe you go there and you think, I will start here. But then you have amazing players and you start there. But maybe in three games, you'll have big problems with your line. They are not understanding. Come again to the first point.
In this episode, we talk to Vitor Severino. Vitor is the assistant coach of Botafogo in Brazil. In this episode, we talk about collaborating with colleagues, tactical periodization, and knowing all the details of your game model. Enjoy this episode with Vitor Severino. Vitor, welcome inside the coach's room.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your invitation.
Or should I say welcome in your Brazilian friend's apartment, because we went we went to a different part because the connection was better.
Well, we are football coaches, so we need to chase this solution every time. So we are here now, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, well, if everybody's just thinking, okay, what are they talking about? You just moved to Brazil a month ago.
Yeah.
And you're in a new apartment, I think. Your friend had a better connection. Because
Much better.
So we had some technical issues before we started. Well, maybe we'll go into Brazil later. But I said I'm going to start, but I forgot to say this before we started recording, not to surprise you, but what's up with Star Wars?
Well, I'm a fan. That's the only thing I can say. I'm a big fan.
I was going through your, your social media.
Yeah.
And then I'll see this football. And then once... all out of a sudden, I saw five posts on Star Wars. I said, okay, this is interesting.
Because it's a thing between me and my brother. Okay. It's like we are very different person from each other. We have nothing to do with each other, but we have a strong connection, like brothers and friends. And one of the we share two things. Star Wars is something that we share. So when it's like this 4th of May, you will start to text me to send me this funny things, memes, you know, these kind of things. So I always post something because when I'm with him, it's like it's a subject. And also about music, because we both share this Radiohead thing. And I can say these are the two things that we have in common besides being sons of the same father and mother.
That's funny. Yeah, because I made the force be with you or something. And that's what I saw. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah. And then Botafogo also posted something. And then, they posted something about this. And it was funny. Because also
I'm not a Star Wars fan, so I don't know these memes or whatever, but...
You're not a nerd, you mean? Like,
I'm not saying anything about nerds or Star Wars.
No, some fans just start to say, oh, it's a big surprise because maybe Severino is a Star Wars. Like, I just like the movies and the story. And
great. Maybe I should look into it.
Yeah.
I find the time. Okay, now, the standard question is always, what's the most important in your coach's room? So let's start with that.
Yeah, that's to be honest, a very easy question, because I need to have all the time four different color pencils and paper. That's it. I cannot live without this. I will take my laptop, my iPad, these kind of things, but I cannot work without this. Four different color pencils and some white paper.
Hey, why? It seems like you have a very structured way in that, but...
Well, you know, we have a lot of software, these kind of things to plan, to make the drills, but I'm an old-fashioned guy when concerned to planning, to think about some drill, think about some tactical approach, think about... I like to feel, you know, I like to write it down on a paper. And because when we start our meetings before the training sessions... I'm responsible to put it down on the paper, and then we make some, you know, copies and to give to all of our, you know, the technical staff members to go to the training pitch. And maybe that's why I start to put the teams. Then the doctor comes and say this play will not go, and I will just start to put it again. How many defenders? How many midfielders? Then the coach comes and I remember about something. We need to do this today. Think about something. And I like to have like this, to have four different colors and some paper. That's it.
So old-fashioned writing down on paper.
Yes.
Scratching and taking new papers, throwing it away.
For sure. Once in a while, I need to go to my backpack and remove hundreds of, old things and put it just away. Because then I have my time to put it down on the software, to put it like nice. I like to have these things nice, organized too. But when it's the part of the creative part for me, it's like with the pencil and the paper.
Yeah. Is it the word? Yeah, I was going to say, is it better for you to get your ideas on paper first because you have more freedom on paper?
Yes, for sure. It's about freedom. It's about planning a training session, thinking about some tactical approach, thinking about something for a set piece. For me, it's like this is for sure a creative process. And I feel this freedom if I can write it down. I don't open my laptop to do something like this. I like to think and I like to put it down. The idea is like, flow in my situation. I feel creative when I have this. So if I don't have this, this is why I need to have this with me. If I don't have it, I feel like a block. I need to write it down, put it again, rethink, just put it on the paper.
I pretty much did the same. I had my periodization, let's say the times or the numbers, maybe I had them in Excel, but on the back were the passing drills or the whatever I needed to draw, or I did it on a big board. Yeah, I can never do it in software. It doesn't work for me.
I think it don't work like that. Yeah, the software will work if you want maybe to have a library and you want to put it on the software after the process. This is also when I go through the training session, I will take with me two different color pencils in my pocket and the training plan. And once in a while, I try to scratch because I see something, I need to put it immediately on the paper. And I say, for this drill, maybe we can do different for the next week. We need to adjust this. We can have this. We can have that. And also during the training session, like I like to scratch. I like to write it down, put it on the paper. Then I go and then I can put it on the software. But the software for me is after the process, never before. I just don't feel like it's like functional, it don't work for me.
I saw some pictures. If you look at your socials, you see yourself with pictures, papers a lot of time. I did the same. I always had like a clipboard. Maybe there were five different papers on it and I was writing during the time. It makes it so much more easier and you don't have to memorize, which helps.
Yeah. And when you feel something like you have a nice thought, and if I'm on my bed or something, if it's something that I feel this will be amazing, and maybe on the next way it'll be something like just total crap. But at this moment, I need to put it down. I remember this will work, and I will put it on the paper. And maybe sometimes it won't work, but it's like we have our, let's say, routines. And for me, it works like this. It's nice. Also, on our coaches' room, every time Luis Castro will has to put like two or three whiteboards on the wall. So we can also together start to scratch it down, to think together, but always with this, in this case, not pencils, like this whiteboard markers, but we'll have also A3, A2, A1, A4, big of paper with pictures, and we start to scratch it in.
Great. By the way, when I talk, maybe I hear some echo, so I don't know if we'll, but doesn't matter for now. We'll figure it out. Maybe. Yeah. But if it's still in there in the end version, people are listening to it and I cannot help it. So it is what it is.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. No, it's not about you. Maybe it's me. I don't know. But
I don't hear it, but...
Yeah, so that maybe it's not in the final recording, but we don't know until the final recording starts. Okay. So I don't care.
Let's try.
This is not... Yeah, this is a little bit bragging. I just heard we're now have coaches in 102 countries listening to this.
We are live.
Not live now, but I mean in the recordings, people. So 102 countries will hear a small echo. I don't care.
Okay, well, sorry about that.
That's what you get when we talk to Brazil. You're the first coach being in Brazil. So because when you talk, it's interesting that you kind of hear the approach. Okay, when we are there, we put this and this and this in the room, which means that you are used to moving from room to room. And if you look at your history, okay, it's pretty clear. You went from Shakhtar to Dubai and now in Brazil, and I think in the time for 2 years. So it automatically also maybe says, okay, you are used to new environments, you're used to being a new pro, well, used to, but the last few years you are in new projects. How is that for you as a coach?
Well, it happened really fast, to be honest. I was like, this morning I was giving an interview for a newspaper here in Brazil, and I was just speaking about this. They asked me, why did you start so early as a coach? Because usually you have this stereotype, this like preconception that you must be a professional player to be a professional football coach. And I was speaking about the context and about being lucky, because I know a lot of good people with amazing skills that maybe they will never have the opportunity to play the Champions League or to move from country to country to fight for titles. But it happened really fast. We were in Portugal. I started in a small club, and then I met Luis. I moved to FC Porto. I started to work full time, and then we worked 3 years in the first league in Portugal, and then this opportunity, Shakhtar. So this, like, to be honest, when I moved to Ukraine, I feel like this is different. I will move to a different country. My family, I didn't know at the time if my wife really wanted to come with my daughter at the time was 4, and we need to make this decision. But then we spent 2 years there, and to be honest, I started to put this idea that I really want to take the most of this opportunity to work abroad, because work with different culture, different players. And then we moved to Qatar. And then we moved to Brazil. And now, to be honest,
I said Dubai. Sorry, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. It's pretty much close. So to be honest, now it's something that, like any other thing in your life, when you start to get used to it, it's like it's a normal thing for me. I feel that I can work now here, and in the next month or in the next year, I can work maybe in Australia. It's fine because we have a technical staff. Like, it's like a family, you know. And so the first time, yes, I must admit that it was difficult. It was really nice, but it was difficult. Change everything, all the problems in my head. But now it's like, I feel like I can be a citizen of the world, because it's where the opportunities will be. I can be there for sure.
There's one word that you keep mentioning, and that is we. So you are not one coach, you are a staff. And I think, well, that's my impression. You do not hire Vitor, you do not hire Luis, you hire the group, the staff.
Yes, when we start, I'm the oldest one in the technical staff. I started with him when we moved to Rio Ave in Portugal. And then, as I told you, 3 years in Portugal, 2 in Ukraine, 1 in Qatar, and now here. But we knew each other. Some of the coaches, some of my colleagues were in other projects, but we knew from the FC Porto Academy, because at this moment, let me think. Yeah, 5 of us, at a certain point, we were together in the academy of FC Porto. Not together in the same age group, you know, but together in the club. So we knew each other. One of the coaches, it's Brazilian, the physical coach, it's new. But yeah, it's perfectly that when also Luis keeps mentioning that when somebody hire him, they hire a group, a technical staff, like a philosophy. And if you need to implement something, it's not a job for one person. You need to have a team. You need to have people that we are different. We share a lot of things, but we are different from each other. And I feel that this is, to be honest, something very positive, to have different approaches, to put it on the table and to make our model grow.
Yeah. What is characteristic about your model or your model as a group? Well, I'm not going to say you as a person.
Yeah, well, we have this influence of FC Porto Academy. So for sure we have this like, complexity theory about football, about training, systemic approach, you know. I'm not the kind of person that I like to say that this is the only way of working, but I have this influence of tactical periodization for sure. Luis as well, João as well, Daniel as well. And we share this for sure. The way that we see training, the way that we start to planning, we will have for sure, we know what we want. Methodology, I'm not saying that we are the same, but about how to implement things, we are pretty much similar. Then we can have different views about the tactical approach in this moment, in that moment. But for sure, we have this influence of Vitor Frad. We work with him in FC Porto. To be honest, it makes a lot of sense to me. again, I'm not saying that I want to say that this is the better methodology in the world, but for me, it makes sense because, you know, when I started to work, I was in the faculty, and you have all these subjects, you know, biology, you have kinesiology, you have physiology, you have all these things, and you want to learn everything. But when you start on the pitch on the first day, I remember, I couldn't. I wanted to make a training session, and it was really, really hard for me because I didn't know what to do. And at the end, it was something not complex. It was something complicated. You know, you want to put everything. You think about physiology. You think about time. You think about recovery, and you don't think about the game. And the biggest change for me was like when somebody presented to me something that, well, if you have an idea, maybe this is the better tool to develop the idea with the players. So if you want to develop football game, you need to train football game. And it's basically about this. You cannot do the same thing every day, but you must do things that you want to appear on the game. So, and I started to think about this. It's pretty much simple on theory, but it's like against these linear things of you put A and B and C and D, and this is the game. It's not about this, about interactions. About the influence of other, you know, about other things that are not directly related to football to be there. So when you love football, I think that all of us, it's the same. You start to read a novel, and when you find something, this has to do with my training. Or you start to read about social intelligence, and you start, oh, maybe this is important for my leadership. Or you start to think about chaos theory, and you start to think this is important about like to developing something, to learn something. So this is one of the biggest influences for us, for sure.
Yeah. But that's, let's say, the methodology that's the basics of your work. But how would you say if I was a club and I'm going to hire you four guys, what is the identity that we will see on the pitch, or what will be the outcome? So what's the end goal for you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we would like to say that we every time. And this is, the numbers can speak for themselves. We'll have a team that will have possession, but we don't have possession as an objective. We have possession as a consequence of the way that we start to build up from the back. We want to have an associative team. We want to have a team that can relate the short game and the long game and to understand the right timing to do it. We want to have a team that understands that with the ball, they need to, we have two major, you can call it macro principles. Like if we have space, we can attack the space. And then, of course, this is the macro. You can develop sub principles to understand how to do it from the back in the second, third, or in the last third. And if we don't have space, we need to create the space. And how to create the space, it's about building up in the different sections of the pitch. So we never speak about structures or about systems. We speak about these macro principles because then we need to adjust them, understanding the context. But two macro things for us in all the time, it's like this: if we have space, we attack it. If we don't have space, we start to create it. It seems very simple to speak like this. It's very difficult, to be honest, because you know, if you have a lot of short passes, you'll have pressure on the ball because you will attract. If you have lots of long passes, you will you will have a higher rate of miss the pass. So this is a perfectly balanced between short game to attract, even when we start up from the back, to create space and then connect on that space. Of course, this is connected with the positional game that we wanted. But the more specific things when you go to a club, we need to understand them when we have a context, because I'm speaking about an idea. I'm not speaking about the model. In my view, all the coaches have an idea, but you only have a model when you have a club. This is my view. I don't believe in have a model in like a document, because in my view, you have a model when you have a context, and the context for sure will shape things of your model, like starting from the structure, then the system, how to interact, because you can have 4-3-3 here and 4-3-3 there, same structure, not the same system for sure, because there are no two systems the same in the world. I don't believe in that. Structures, yes, but...
So for example, you have your idea, you have your principles, and then the details come in when you know what kind of group of players, what is the energy of the club, what's the philosophy, what do you need to add to your basic fundamental principles? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, for sure. Like Every time we will have this principle of we believe that, as I told you, if you have lots of long passes, the rate of missing the pass, the probability of missing the pass will be higher. So every time our teams, we will see them trying to build up from the back, trying to find spaces in the middle, because we believe with short passes, we don't miss. The possibility to miss is less, but we will improve the pressing of the opponent. This is why the positional game will enter for us, and we start to developing, not talking about the macro structure of the team, but talking about these kind of principles like short, short, long, attract, create, where is the space? Lots of questions in our training. So this philosophy of having the ball, it's very important for us. But in most of our exercises, we try to change. If we have one, to have possession and give this difference between play short, play long, the next one will have deep spaces for sure. So in the next one, maybe you can have, again, just positional game. Also, because we believe of this not linear way to progress on the training session. So when we talk about creating space, if we want to make them see this kind of space, sometimes we put big, big space for them, like very difficult to defend, but very easy to see. Then we start to play with these three things, like number, space, and timing to do things. But this philosophy, we can have them. Then how to build up from the back is different, because maybe you can have, like in Qatar, we had like this Toby Alderweireld, you know, this center back from Tottenham, come to play for us. Amazing to put long passes, very good. Yeah, so good, so what, we need to... Yeah, so you can change this sub-principle. If we have this kind of players, in this case, we started to build up from the back with three. All the strategy was to put them on the middle. So he was always the player on the middle of these three, because when we attract the ball to the left, on the right, and come again, like to create distraction, when the opponent started to press, we have movements on the front. And when the ball comes to Toby without pressure, he will have like in 10 passes, he will put 7 very good passes deep. So in this case, you will not see play short, 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 long. You'll see short, short, long, short, short, long, because we have this player. In other cases, like Shakhtar, we had amazing players, center backs playing short, full backs, and midfielders. So it was easier for us to build up from the back with more players, to give more short passes, attract, and create space on the back, and like travel together to get on the final turn, because we didn't have this kind of players to... But this is just a detail, you understand? So this is when I speak about context. It is, you have the philosophy, but then you need to adjust to understand what kind of context you have, of course.
Yeah,
but
so I hear an identity that team takes the opportunity when it's there, and a team that has the patience to wait for the right moment. And sometimes the patience is 5 passes, or sometimes the patience is 15 passes. Depends either on the moment or on the context. Yeah.
Coaches, sorry for the interruption, but besides the coaches' room, I run another company called Football Tours. This is a full-service touring company, and we organize pre-season and winter training camps for professional football teams. We do this for both senior and youth teams, and we take care of everything. Hotel, training accommodation, friendly matches, whatever you need. Also, we give youth teams the opportunity to train at the best youth academies of the Netherlands. Academies like PSV, Feyenoord, AZ Alkmaar and the KNVB, you can train there with your team. So, if you are a professional coach, you need to organize your training camp. Or if you have a youth team and you want to train at the best facilities and the best academies of the Netherlands, go to footballtours.com. And now pay attention. Tours is with a Z. So footballtours.com.
We were just having this conversation a few days ago about a set play that we had, that it was amazing. And we started to watch together like a clip. And I was speaking, and Luis, clever guy, of course, and he say, I want them to understand these two things. If we have the space, we attack, and if we don't have, we create. But if you start to show them just possession, 37 passes, 45, 55, even when it is unconscious, you start to pass some. You are always passing something to the players. So we build up.
What I like about your story is, okay, what coaches do, it's a trend to follow top coaches.
Yeah.
So they see Guardiola passing 100 times. So they think, okay, this is what you have to do. You have to build, do the attract. Maybe they don't even know is the attraction part that attract. They just think, okay, we need to do a lot of short passes.
Yeah.
But if you have one direct pass to the striker anytime, and it's open, why should you do the short passes? So
that's the thing. That's the main thing. That's why we keep saying, if you have space, we attack. If we don't have, we create. But specific, like, everybody likes to follow trends. Also, we have in our department of analysis, we have like a trend, let's call it trend department, but it's not about this. It's about like, we have our identity, our philosophy. We know how we want to play. Then we adjust to our model. But some we cannot see all the games on the tele, on the television, of course. We have no time. But we have these guys that usually you have these guys to analyze the opponents. But we put a second dimension to them that it's very important for us, which is when you see something out of the box, when you see some building up in the Premier League, in the Danish League, in the J League, just cut the clip, put it here, and we talk about this. Let's try to understand what's happening here and if we can, put this in our model. And I feel that this is very important, which is different to say, like, I like Guardiola. Yes, I like Guardiola, but that's why I start to say that our team is about possession, but not like an objective. It's a consequence of the way we play. So we will see all of our teams since Khiwav will have higher, percentage of ball possession as a consequence of the way we play. So maybe we need one pass, maybe we need 45. It depends.
Yeah, and this is very important that you have an identity or a clear idea on how you want to play and that you go in depth on your own model. Okay, why? Or maybe even deeper, why do I want to play like this? If you know, this is a personal connection to who you are as a person, what your favorite way of looking at football is. Why do you love football? Yeah. If you miss that, you're just, this is very easy to say, but you tend to copy because maybe somebody does it. If you know, I like football. So if I talk for my personal style, I'm a little bit more of result oriented. So I build with my teams a little bit more of a defensive structure because it fits me. But from there, I like to
that's the main thing.
Attacks. So, but I'm not doing it because somebody else does it.
Of course,
no, this is what suits me as a person.
Well, to be honest, I had the opportunity a few years ago to make like this internship in Barcelona. I met a guy and I was there like a week. Lots of things that I watched, I was like really nice. Some others, I was like, it's not my thing. Maybe I want to follow different ideas. But one of the main things that somebody told me there, it was Joan Vila. He was the methodology coordinator at the time, I think. And he said, we don't want them to believe in our model. We want the kids to fall in love for our model. And this is very important for me. Like if you don't believe in your own ideas, the players will get this for sure. They will understand that you are not 100% sure. And this is when, and it's very easy to understand what kind of football do you like. I always say this to my friends. When you are watching football on the television and you say something, and you saw something and you say like, amazing, good pass, this is the kind of football that you want. This is the kind of things that you like. This is the kind of thing that you believe, like really nice. Some others will say long pass, reception, should they say nice. Some others will say like amazing cross, header, nice. Some others will look at 35 passes and say amazing. So, and the players, they will understand this. And sometimes you come with these copy and paste ideas. And okay, I want to build up from the back. Let's develop because you will make mistakes for sure. Because like we talk about, they will get a lot of attraction if you make lots of short passes. But in the training session, the goalkeeper try one pass between the midfielders in the center. Amazing. You say, okay, good. The next one we misses, goal of the opponent. And you say, hey, put a long ball. This guy, you will just not believe that you really want to build up like that. Because you want these kind of things, I think, like you say, you must do what you believe in.
Yeah, and that's especially when you're in, let's say, your first years of coaching, you just need to discover. And then I think that's another thing. If you are maybe just starting out, just try to find what works for you as well. I'm not saying you cannot copy, like you were saying as well. Just try to implement whatever you think should work. And then you realize, okay, this works or this works not for me or this fits my emotion or whatever. Just try. And, and I, if I hear it correctly, you are now working at the elite level of Brazil, but you also still try to implement and things go wrong. It's part of football.
Yeah, of course.
This is how it works. You don't stop and just focus on the result. No, you find an idea. Maybe you still implement new things and you just try it, even on top level.
Even on top level, for sure, because when the players believe in you and when the players know that you believe in your own ideas, it's much easier for everybody and they will follow you and they will try to do their best. If they feel, this is my experience, if they feel that you don't even know or sometimes you are not 100% sure about what you want, it's difficult for them. And sometimes this is not even conscious. So this is why it's important for us to follow the trends, to know what's happening in football. Sometimes I have friends that said, look at this building up from the back in the J League last week. And I was like, amazing how we put this, considering the pressure of the opponent. And maybe you are not copying this at all, but some of the principles, like look how he put his body for the first ball and look at what he did on the second ball. Maybe you bring and you have something new to your model. So it's important for us that we follow what the opponent of the next game is doing. But like, we don't want to be a reaction team, you know? And when you have like a philosophy or identity, if it's more possession-based, more directly, more result-oriented, I don't know. I think they are all they should be all result-oriented because the game is very clear. If you go to the rules, you are doing something to put the ball there and to avoid them to put the ball here. Then you choose your way. If you don't look at this, I think you are just a romantic person. I don't know, because elite football is about this. It's about results. But of course, you can choose how to win and you can choose how to lose, like with an identity, with a philosophy, and then you try to improve. But I'm not against looking at what other people are doing on the pitch, on the training session. But like you said, you need to discover yourself. When I finished the university, I had the opportunity, but now I see I had a lot of information, but I didn't have knowledge. No information, tons, books, DVDs. I wanted to go to see this coach, this one, but it was so much in my head that it comes with the age, of course, and with the people that is around you, with the books that you read, with the movies that you watch, with everything, even
life.
Those things that are not, yeah, life.
Yeah, life shapes you, especially as a coach. What I like is, and all you Portuguese guys are exactly the same in this, is that you live football almost like a science. Well, it is a science when you are brought up or when you are in your coach education. And that you can hear every time that I talk to somebody from Portugal, that they are you are trained in almost a scientific approach. You are in what's literally called a faculty or university. You're not on the association. No, you go to faculty or university to get your coach education, and from there you move on into the practical scene. This is a very essential approach, because I was talking to other guys. Sometimes we forget that Portugal only has 8-9 million people.
Yeah, like 9-10 millions. Nine, ten.
And you are the fifth or sixth country in the world when it comes, well, of Europe, and the national team plays on, always plays for the prize, let's call it like that. Okay, you know, once in a while you get there really on top, you're not France, but still you're competing. And I think it is because of the approach on how coaches are educated. And now I'm not surprised, I was expecting this, but I hear it in your philosophy and the way you talk about football also. It is thought through, you know every detail. And of course, I also hear you say, when I just started, I was bombarded with information. I didn't really know what to do with.
Yeah.
At one point, the puzzle, the pieces become the puzzle.
Yeah, things start to make sense. Well, I have to be honest. We have everybody speak about Mourinho. He was for sure important, an important moment, because people started to think like, you can be a professional coach without being an amazing professional player. You start to study. Now let's do some analysis of what's happening, and you see that he was on the faculty, the people that he was surrounded by, and you know, this love for football, you can in my generation, you could feel it on the street. I started to play on the street every day, every afternoon. So people in Portugal are really in love with football. And all the kids wanted to be football players. Mourinho, I have to be honest, because about my generation, everybody in my generation that loved football but didn't have the skills or couldn't, you know, have an opportunity, started to think about this. So you can say that people, kids in Portugal want to be football players and football coaches. And this is because of Mourinho. But also, it's fair to say that before Mourinho, we had like Carlos Queiroz. He was an amazing person. Started to bring science, starting to bring this methodology, a rationality approach of the training session to look at solve tactical problems. He was one of the first guys to have like scientific approaches on this. He's now in the national team of Egypt, I think. He was in Colombia. Yeah, now in Egypt, I think. He's still there. And I also think that he was professor of Mourinho in the faculty, because he was like the first generation of football coaches to bring science and to put this kind of approach to football at this time in the University of Lisbon. So when I came to the university, I started to know about these guys, you know, about Carlos Queiroz, about Mourinho. And I think it's also about this. People want to be football players, but also you will find a lot of people in Portugal that want to be football coaches.
Yeah, so there was a role model that made a difference.
Yeah, for sure.
And the role model, okay, you can say it very superficial. The role model proved that the translator can become a top coach. I'm putting it very superficial, but this is like a fairy tale story. If he can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, it was like, let's look why he came to this point. Did he play or not? And this was very important because, you know, I'm from a small village. I didn't have any connection in football in my family, in my village at all. Nobody, I didn't know nobody from professional, from this world. So it was very difficult. And when you find somebody like Mourinho winning the Champions League, Europa League, like this time, this year, 2004, 5, 6, what amazing. It makes you believe, you know, it makes you believe like you can go there, you can get there. And also with Mourinho, they started to speak about tactical periodization and nobody knew about this because you have these two schools, Lisbon and Porto, the main ones, the oldest ones. And you have like one approach in the south and the tactical periodization approach in the north. And people speak about this, but didn't know because there was nothing like documents, books, and they start to appear. And then it was like everybody like, what is this tactical periodization? It's like training every time with the ball, every time with the game model. Maybe this is better than when you come from the faculty, you know, talk about microcycles, this microcycle A, B, C, D, physiology, you know, glycogen, these kind of things. And then you start to forget about the game. And this was like, so these years, 2000.
How important is this for you as well? Because you're also an ambassador of the methodology of the philosophy. What makes this so valuable in your daily work, or why is this approach so successful or good?
Well, basically because it's like training with the game. It's like having in your training session all the activities, all the drills. It's like a micro representation of the micro game. So like it's like when you have something small, you make it small, but you still make it rich with your principles. Even if it's in a small scale, like position of the body, to a bigger scale, like position of the body related to the pressing or not in the ball, related with your opponent, related with having space on the back or not. It's like when you enter on this, you don't need to know all the scientific basis of this. It's like when you enter in this world, I speak about my experience, you don't go out because you start to think 100% about the way you play. So tactical periodization, it's not about playing style. It's about, do you have a playing style? Do you believe in that? Do you know your game? Do you know your principles? Like, call it something else if you want, but do you know what to do when you're building up from the back? Do you know what to do if they don't press you? Do you have an idea of what to do if you don't have space in the back to attack? Do you have, if you have, you get on this tool and all the training sessions are just directly to work like that. So it's like, it's about being specific. That's it. Everything must be specific to the way you play. You can have compliments. Sometimes you have this word about, but you don't put the guys to run. You don't do the work. It's not about that. Of course we have. We have talking about professional football. All the players now at this level, sometimes they have a personal coach. It's not a problem for us, but you have like, our session is 70, 80 minutes. It's short, but it's intense. all the drills are just prepared. They just go and go and go and go. And if you have doubts, just sometimes I speak. It's okay, I understand, but just take a look at the GPS. I'm not a physiology guy, and the physical coach will take a look, but they give us the feedback, and you can train short, intense, and game-related. And this is, again, I'm not, because as I am, sometimes I give some, I work with these guys, I'm not an ambassador, but I like invited speaker for the brand. But I'm not the kind of person that will go on to philosophical wars about it. It works for me. And if somebody works, why? I can explain. I can spend 1 hour to show some drills, show some sessions to say, like, look, I want to play like this. I train like this. This is tactical periodization. It's like, it's not a big thing. It's being specific. It's like have the propension to happen the things that you want to happen in the drill. So if you want to find for, you know, let's speak about short diagonal passes, and you want to work about this because you'll find a low back line. And you organize a drill. And in 10 minutes, you have one pass like this, successful. Something is wrong here. It's not happening what you want to happen. You are not training. So maybe you are being lucky if this happening on the game, if you believe that the training will help you to develop. If you don't believe, it's different. Some people train generic, you know? So they play, and the KDA teams, they play good. It's okay for me. I don't go on to this world. For me, maybe because I have this limitation, I was not a football player. I needed to understand the game from with this, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I'm hearing. So I hear you're saying, okay, it creates that you have to go into depth on each point of your game model or your philosophy. So yeah. If you do not have it, the tactical periodization will bring out the gaps. If you do not fill it, you're pretty dumb. Let's call it like that, because there's a gap there. So think about it. So it completes your philosophy.
It's, yeah, exactly. It's a methodology. The style is yours. Yeah. So it's a methodology to make something to happen the way you want to happen. So it's like, it's mainly about four things: being specific, having propension on the drills, like the things that you want to happen must happen. So if they don't happen, maybe the number is not correct. Maybe you need neutral players. Maybe you need deep spaces. Maybe you need neutral zone. I don't know. It's about, you cannot do the same thing every day on the session. So sometimes you need to work with less players, with more players, big space, less space, you know. And it's about progression. It's a complex progression on this point of view. It's not a linear progression. So the game model will not progress from A to B to C to D. The game model will go from time. Sometimes you catch it. We start to speak about, you have a style, and then you need a context to have a model, in my point of view. Maybe you go there and you think, I will start here. But then you have amazing players and you start not here. You start two steps there. But maybe in three games, you'll have big problems with your line. They are not understanding the way to protect the deep space. They are not understanding the connection with the midfielders. And you need to come again to the first point. And then you go to the second. And then you go to the tenth. So the game model, in the complex progression point of view, will go and will come depending on...
You can only do that if you know step 1 to 50 of your game model. If you don't know it, you can never move up and down. And this is what I hear a lot. Well, this is what I hear, and what was new for me is that most Portuguese, I'm just call it, just most Portuguese coach know every small detail. They know step 1 to 50. And if I look at myself, I was maybe more, I know step 1, I know step 5, I know step 12, and I know step 15, because that's how I roughly build it.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is nothing wrong with, but then I discovered later on, maybe I'm missing stuff, or maybe I don't realize that I know I'm missing these details.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the point, because you must know the details of your game, but this is never closed. This is also a big principle of this methodology. The game model is never closed. So sometimes you will find things that you are not even looking for. You will find things, you will discover things about your model, and you are not worried about that. Sometimes you are concerned about the principle because you are having problems with your line, with how to press on the line and how to adjust with the three that are, I don't know, something, I'm speaking about something. Sure. And you don't find the solution because maybe your players cannot work like you want. But then suddenly you will discover something and you will adjust. And this is why I was speaking about, if Well, let's say if we speak about you want to play with the line up on the pitch and to understand the moments to come back. Some coaches don't like to do that and they keep a low block. Okay, we are not discussing which is the best because
we're not judging.
Football is proving us that both can win. Both can win the Champions League. I will not speak about clubs. Both can be the best teams in the world. It's subjective, of course. For you, maybe you'll say, no, but it's not the best because I don't. This is what you like, but I'm speaking about results. So sometimes you start like this. You have a line, players that don't understand that if they play up, you can only play up with the line if you have pressure on the front. If you don't have pressure on the front, why to play with the line up? So this is a basis of the game model. So if you want to play with the line up, you need to teach them how to press. And then you need to teach them on the back the moments to come back, having or not having pressure on the front. And then you can progress, because if you start like if the ball is pressed, you don't need to drop back. If the ball is not pressed, and if he's ready to put a long ball, you need to start to change your shape, your feet to start to go back. But this is very simple, because sometimes the ball is not pressed and you don't need to come back. And this is why I speak about the game model is developing, because their understanding of the game is also bigger and you will adjust your principles. So it's not just about being pressed or not. It's about the shape of the player that has the ball. The player that has the ball on the left or on the right. They have somebody between the lines or not. And then, well, this is a process.
Coaches. Once a month, we organize the Pro Coaches Room, an online meeting exclusively for professional coaches. In this meeting, we exchange networking knowledge, and almost all the guests that you've listened to in this podcast are in this group. So, if you are a professional coach, you work at a professional academy, want to join this network group, find me, Arend Jan Kranenburg, on LinkedIn, send me a message, and we can add you to the group. It's a wonderful group with a lot of value. So, professional coaches, make sure you join it. If you are not a professional coach, but you also want to be part of such a group, make sure to follow us. Follow us on our social media, keep track of our platform, because after the summer of 2022, so this summer, we will start more groups of different levels. So I can assure you there will be a spot for you as well. Yeah, and this comes with experience. So you have to be in the 100 moments that you step back because the pressure is off, and then you discover, hey, maybe 10 out of those 100 moments I could stay because why could I stay? Why? See, he's looking at his own fullback instead of he's looking to the front. So then we can keep moving forward, whatever, blah, blah. So you discover or you look at footage. This is the journey of a coach. The first part is that I want to play as high as possible. That's maybe a principle.
That's your principle, yeah. Yeah, I remember something. I always speak about this. People speak about, I like to speak about, like, people in the past, they thought about the coach as the man with the answers, you know? And we like to think about ourselves as the guys with the questions, you know? Your training session should be something with questions. You should have, you know, because it's impossible to put the map and say, when it happens this, the line goes that. When it happens this, the midfielders go this. It's just impossible. So if you give them good questions and some, you know, anchors, some principles, they will help you. The thing that I wanted to say, that why I interrupt you, it's very important for me, for us to listen to the players, you know, to listen, because you'll have experienced players that will say to you, look, for me, it's better that I start to protect myself to go to the deep like this earlier. Why not? If you will get performance, if you keep your principle, yeah, let's say, play sure. Up, why not? So, like when you spoke about set pieces, 3 days, 4 days before the game, it's the day to speak with them. Like, guys, we have this approach for this game. We talk about this. Now let's speak about that. And they say, maybe I will start this. I will change with John, okay, let's try like this. And then it works. Sometimes it don't. But, you know, this building a trust relation with them to make them feel that they are in, because they are in the process, to be honest. Yeah. If they are, why not to listen to them? We should listen to them.
Yeah. How is that when you step into a new project? Well, you step into, and then you are balancing between, okay, the first impression of you as a staff at a new club. I can imagine, this is my assumption, that your playing style takes some time.
Yeah.
To really implement. It's not a result, straight away result oriented game model. It's a more, there's some risk in there, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Then you have a group maybe who has to get used to it. You have to find their trust. They may be, okay, is this working? I don't know. But you know, maybe you can have some friction maybe on that.
Yes.
Do you have an example of, okay, this was the right moment to step into the players? Okay, how are you experiencing this? Or maybe you already, of course, you talk to players when they walk around, but what, maybe you have an example or a situation that, okay, this was the right moment and the players really helped me, or they didn't, whatever. But
yeah, I have lots of examples. Also difficult things to pass by, like one of the clubs that we work for, I will not say the club, but when we start to, we spoke about this playing high on the pitch, defending high on the pitch, like strong reaction after the loss. And if you don't have, and if you don't win the ball, to put your shape, but again, start to put the shape high, and then you understand if you need to come back or not. We spoke about having the line up. You need to have pressure on the ball, but we also need to have a goalkeeper that can control his space, you know. And yeah, in one club, we had the goalkeeper, very good goalkeeper between the points. It just didn't feel comfortable outside of the box. So it takes time. And we use a lot of video, you know. We give them examples of top teams and we give them examples of lower teams to do things to make them believe. It's about the idea. It's not about, like, the first impression sometimes is like, we cannot play like this. It's difficult for me. I don't want to lose passes inside and to be the guy that he was guilty for this and for that. So that's why when we come to a new club, even in a big club like, you know, like Shakhtar, I say Aldo Hale in Qatar, it's big, big club. All the players are in the national team. Of course, it's different. You cannot compare Qatar with
Champions League. But sure, it's one of the biggest clubs. There's pressure. They're top
league. Yeah, of course. They are big, well-paid, rich players, national team players. So when even in these clubs, when we come, we like to prepare a video about our philosophy to make them see what we want in all the moments. And usually we put clips on dozens of different teams doing the same thing, you know? Like, these are our principles. We want to play like this. We don't want to be Barcelona, Juventus, Atletico, but our principles are like this. And then when we start, we have, you in Brazil, no, but sometimes when we, because we didn't have the preseason here, we just came directly from Qatar and they were competing. But when you have time, as soon as we can, we do the same video, exactly the same video, but with footage from our team. So from time, we use a lot of video. We feel that it's important for them to like make them see what they're doing, to give them the right feedback to see, look, this is a positive like feedback. You are doing good. You are doing well. This is why also I think that communication and feedback in training are very, very, very important. And again, we can speak about this of tactical periodization. We think that we can also plan the feedback. Not saying that for this drill, you will say these three sentences. It's not like this. But for this drill, they need to listen a lot of things, these three words. And we plan. And they are listening to that. And it's in their conscience. When they do something...
So, for example, in your style, you want to attract... I can imagine that a coaching advice is, okay, patience, find the rest, find the moment, find the time, don't overrush it. Those could be things that you are planning to put in the heads of the players.
Yeah, or... Yeah. Lot also... Questions like when we talk about this, when we do possession with the deep spaces to attack, but in small spaces, like with transitions to make them feel that they need to play short to attract and create. Lots of times, the feedback is just, where is the space? Just a question. When the guy is pressed, and we just ask them, keep asking very loud, where is the space? Where is the space? To make them not play again under pressure. But when you identify and you try to put and you miss, we say, okay, the space was there. Yeah, amazing, good. Good, let's go. And then the second one he put, and then the third one he start to get motivated, you know, and he start to understand the timing, you know. So that's why I 100% believe that planning information, like I was saying, not to say that we need to keep this like a map or no, but planning what to, because otherwise you get excited and you speak about everything in the same drill. How to attack, how to press, how to put the line, how to, that's crazy. No, it don't work. So we keep, you keep putting like for this specific, or sometimes we adjust between, I'm responsible to speaking for our line to give them 3 or 4 feedbacks to identify ball being pressed or not. And my friend is just concerned about the attack entering or not in deep space and why. And why with what kind of movements, you know? So these four dimensions, like number, timing, space, and information, are very important to use my four colored pencils.
I can imagine that. Yeah, you're going back to the pencils. Yeah. I can imagine that it feels pretty strong when you come there. You are the four of you guys step onto the pitch. The players come there for the first two time. For the first time, they approach you, whatever. And you know that if you look to the left and to the right, everybody knows what he is thinking already. Everybody has the same, because you've been working so long together, you feel what the other one wants. Yeah. That should be a great feeling, I can imagine.
It's a great feeling, and sometimes it's a problem. Let me explain a problem. If everybody likes to read the same books, if everybody likes the same coaches, if everybody likes...
How do you keep it fresh?
Yeah, you need to keep it fresh. That's why. And that's why I was saying sometimes, time to time, we think differently, but we think that this will put our game model more. Because, you will look at the same problems and you think about the same solutions. And sometimes you need to fight, you know, in a good way. Like for me, better like this. For me, better like this. Let's change it. But when you have a team, when everybody understands their position on the team, like who is the assistant, who is the coach, who is the other assistant, who is the physical coach. If the coach is not here, who goes to the bench? If this is not here, who else goes to these kind of things? So when the leaders say, okay, finish, the decision is this, finish, it's this. And nobody will say when you lose, see, I told that we need to press here, or I told that we should play 3-4-3. So we like to keep this balance, but yeah, it's important to understand that the basis are the same, and that we have the kind of same, let's say, the approach to what we feel that it's a good football game.
Yeah. What I'm also hearing is that you have to push each other out of the comfort zone as well, because you could easily fall into a comfort zone with the four. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating again, but you know how it works. You have the same idea. Yeah. You know how to do things. But sometimes you have to be in the coach's room and create. No, not create. There needs to be a little bit of a war. There needs to be a fight. Whatever, friction. Friction may be the best word.
Yes.
To polish the ideas, to get new ideas. Yeah. You need to challenge your status quo, actually. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And you need to challenge the way you think about things. So when you win a lot of things and you win a lot of games, sometimes it's the probability of this to happen is bigger, from my experience. Like when we are in Shakhtar, sometimes you play bad, but you win 3-0. And then you play very good and you win one. But in this game that you lose 3-0, the things that you should analyze, maybe you just forgot them. But they are there. And the opposite, because, we are humans. And when we lost, it's opposite. Sometimes you lost and you make amazing things. And you just know, I need to change. This is not the player I want. This is not the approach. We need to start lower on the set pieces. We will change. We'll go man on man. You know, you'll see problems everywhere, and you lose, and you see a lot of good things everywhere when you win. So that's why when you have 5%, I like to say this. I thought about this in a recent interview. I think that the assistant coach must be somebody to balance the head coach. This is, the assistant coaches, everybody. So if you feel, when I feel, this is me, when I feel that is pretty much comfortable with things, I start to put some, send some problems. Sometimes you need to invent a few problems, like to, comfortable, maybe, okay, let's think. And when it's much, pretty much negative, we try to do the opposite. No, let's look at this. This is good. So that it's easy to go on the floor, Negative. Yes, you are right. It's negative. Everything is bad. No, so I think we must work as somebody to balance things. If it's pretty much comfortable, we start to find some problems. If we just... sees problems, we start to put some positive things.
Yeah. That's in any staff, that's very important that you have somebody that says, why? So, yeah. Okay, we did this five times. What are we doing? Or, that breaks the routine or breaks the routine of thinking.
Yeah.
Without breaking any trust or whatever. We all know what we mean with this, but that creates some disruption. That's really good. Yeah, very interesting. Okay, you're almost an hour in. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can see here.
Okay, before go to the end, I have a very completely different question to you. I talk to. Okay, we run the coaches room. We do a lot of social media. This is what we. Well, this is a way that the platform has grown. This is the way how I found you. Very simple. If you're not on social media, I could never. No, yeah, I already found you before. Vitor Matos gave me your phone number. And what I hear from a lot of coaches is, I'm not doing that. This is not me. If I am good, people will recognize it. If I look at you and your profile, you are very active on social media.
Yeah.
You give a lot of impressions of yourself. The way that you work, where you are. I really am a fan of that, not because I'm a fan of you, but showing what you do. And I was thinking, why? What's your idea behind it? Because I think it can be useful for coaches that are listening.
Well, because of my background, because I didn't have the connections at all, because I send hundreds of letters to clubs. And I keep saying this, I just received one of the clubs answered me. At the time, I was trying to go to watch training sessions. And it was a no, but they sent me a letter saying, no, thank you. But I was looking all around Europe when I started because I wanted to learn. I didn't have connections. I didn't have a friend. There was no Twitter. There was no Instagram at the time. There was nothing like that. Even the email was the first steps. It was different. And I made it, I made it. I was lucky enough to also, not speaking about myself, but I invested in knowledge. I invested, I made my licenses. I made my C, my B, my A, my pro license. I made my master degree. I go to the conferences and I made it. So what I try to do now is to give somebody else, I'm trying to give to somebody else like me on the other side, because I know that there are also some other guys like me on the other side, and I don't like them to don't have the possibility to have some connection. So lots of time people speak with me. I open the door to a lot of people. Also, Luis is like this. We cannot open the door to everybody, but every year you will have 6, 7, 8, 10 guys that will come from any part of the world to watch one week. You will open the door. You will open our coaches room. You will speak about the model. Man, I think that we grow when we share, because I came here to work on elite level like this. It was very difficult for me. I didn't have the connection. It was really, really hard. And then I have just the right opportunity, and now I'm here. So I like to give back what football gave to me. I'm not being philosophical. It's just, this is the truth. The second part, when I was in Ukraine, working in Shakhtar, the club is from Donetsk, and the city at the time was occupied. So I never met the stadium. I never met Donetsk, but the fans of Shakhtar, most of them were there. So one of the directors, when we came, said to me and to my friends, please be active on the social media. Because our funds are there. There is war. There is a lot of problems there. They love the club, but the club is in Kiev. Kiev is the hometown of our biggest rival, Dynamo Kiev. So imagine, this was the background. They say, please post something, speak with them, show them pictures on the training, reply to their messages. And when we go to play somewhere, we find some supporters from Donetsk or some Shakhtar friends from other cities that start to appear. And this was also important for me to feel that the fans, the people that love the club, were also connected to us. And this is why I like I like to share. I open the door all the time. I was like this since the beginning. I believe in sharing. I don't like to be close to myself. It's like, I'm really happy. I was not supposed from my background to be here, you know. I was from a small village close to the sea, you know, 3,000 people living there, playing football on the street. I didn't make it as a football player. Go to the university like hundreds of other guys. Work hard, and then lucky enough to meet one guy that say, hey, come here, let's work full-time professional at FC Porto. This person was Luis Castro. But before Luis Castro, I had other opportunities to start it, and everybody was important for me. So I always speak to younger coaches. You need to build up a knowledge bag to put it on your back and to be there on the right time. You need to be there on the right time. But if you don't have the backpack, well, it's just impossible. So work on that, on your connections. Maybe social media will help you. It's big discussion sometimes about social media, but I have my principles. The person I am in my life, I am on the social media. And that's why I like to be there and to share.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm not saying you should put everything out there on social media, but you shouldn't be stubborn on it as well, because it creates chances for a lot of people. Because if people see you, they will at least have an impression of you.
Yeah.
And that maybe could lead to a phone call, or it could lead to maybe an invitation.
It happened. I had no 3 or 4 cases with me. Opportunities. The guys are not working. Professional football. It happened. Yeah. Just for the connection. Sometimes for the motivation. Sometimes just a question. What should I do now? And say, maybe you should do this and go there. And then, thank you so much. I start to work here. And then, I'm so happy when these kind of things happen.
Yeah. And maybe it's a Dutch thing, but just act normal. Don't put yourself out there. It creates good things if you put the right things out there.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have to be fake or whatever. I completely agree that you shouldn't be, fake is the right word, but connect with people, talk to people. And yeah, that's what I like about you. You are in Brazil, you just lived there for a month, but on the day that you arrived, you still had the time to WhatsApp me and say, okay, sorry, blah, blah, we're in this chaotic scene.
It was crazy.
That's bad. You can find anybody everywhere. If you don't do it, it's your own fault that you don't do it. Yeah. Nobody is going to call you. Yeah, I completely agree.
For sure.
Okay, well, talking about connections, then we go to the last question. And you already said it, but who should we talk to next?
Well, I have lots of friends that will give you a nice chat for sure, but I think that my colleague, my friend João Brandão, will be a nice guest for you. And I think that we'll have a nice conversation with him for sure.
Perfect. We can continue we can go deeper into the game model. You already have an impression, then we can go a little bit more deeper.
Yeah. And he will have a different background from mine. So it's a different experience for sure. You'll have a nice chat.
Great. Any last advice for the people that are listening?
Just keep connected. Develop your own knowledge. Don't go on this fake thing and thinking that we can just copy. It's important to check what's happening. And share. My advice is this: share what you're doing, share your questions, and the possibilities will appear for sure. And thank you for so much for watching us. Thank you again for your invitation. And congratulations for the project, because, we're speaking about sharing, and this coach's room, it's just an example of sharing a few thoughts.
Yeah, this is exactly why we're doing it. The background is, maybe, I don't know if everybody knows, but I went to America when I was a young coach with Frans Hoek. I don't know if you know him by name, but the goalkeeper coach of the national team. He invited me because I was on a course and I was good or whatever. And I came to America with 30 other coaches. Papijn Leinders was one of them. And I was my first year as a coach. And there were like pro coaches already working on elite level. And I was on the pitch then the whole day. I had to do my own sessions, but in the meantime, I was looking at all these in 15 days. I had maybe a year of training in my backpack.
Yeah.
So that's when I learned, okay, you can learn, develop yourself, but talking to others, it makes you develop so much faster. So, and now Perfect. I'm talking to you and you're in freaking Brazil, you can talk to anybody. That's my idea of this. Just connect with people, just hit the button. You can talk and develop with everybody.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. I think that we should speak to each other. I don't want to take your time, but I had this opportunity to be.
I have all the time if we go on an extra half an hour. I have time.
It's okay. Just to tell you this, because I was academy technical coordinator of a youth in Academica, and I started to implement one thing with the coaches, but it was a club that the coaches, they didn't get much money, you understand? So I was like, hey, let's stay here today before training sessions between 8 and midnight. And the first time I asked for this, they say, hey, Vittorio, you're crazy. I will teach tomorrow. I will come here in the night. I will get 100 euros for this. Please don't put the meeting now. But the first time I asked two coaches and I told them, bring a topic. I don't remember the topic. But bring a topic and present to the other coaches. It will not be me, academy head coach, like coordinator. It will be you. And they bring something. And we spend there a lot of time, you know. And at the end, they start to say, can I bring something tomorrow? And I say, maybe, I don't know, that's okay. So tomorrow you can bring this. On the next week start, and we start to develop this, you know. And the people were not there for the money. They were there because they start to feel that when we connect to each other, we start to share, we start to grow so much. You start to see like this. Look, I jumped for this understanding of the game, of planning exercises, and this is why I believe in this project that you have.
And it's also completely different if you are doing it because you want to, or you're doing it because you need a degree. It's also completely different because, of course, you need to be in the classroom when you get your coach education.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it without any reward, that's when you know the people are around you are really, really motivated. They are there for no other reason than to develop. Like you are here for no other reason than to share. So that is exactly the discussion that you need to have.
Yeah, completely agree.
Okay. Well, let's do it again maybe in a year or so and see
how
Botafogo is doing then. It was great talking to you, Vitor. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. We'll speak again.
Speak soon. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
If you like this episode, share it with your colleagues, share it with friends, share it on social media, like, subscribe, do whatever you do best and help us grow. Because the bigger we are as a podcast, the bigger and the more inspirational names we can invite to inspire you. And do not forget to pick up your 14-day free trial at thecoachesroom.com. With your free trial, you have access to all our masterclasses, both the live ones and the on-demand ones. Coaches from top European academies share their knowledge and you can watch it. So go to thecoachesroom.com and pick up your 14-day free trial.